Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
This is the first session, and as you know, we will talk about evangelism. The Lord told me before the camp that He told me what I need to teach, and He told me also that you don't just come to dump or to put only the Word of God into people's life. Pray that they will receive impartation that will change their spiritual life forever. You know, it's one thing to know up here in your head the knowledge in the Bible, but it's different. It's another thing to really get it in your spirit. It's another thing is to say, yes, I got it. I will do it. I will live like that. It's different. That is impartation. That is revelation from God. And I want God to really give you the revelation in this camp. God really change your heart. God will change your lifestyle forever. Amen. I want to see impartation by the Spirit of God in this camp. So I pray that you will not just come here to receive only biblical head knowledge, but you will receive and change, let it go down into your heart and change your heart forevermore. Amen. How many people say, I want to be changed by God? Amen. Hallelujah. Last night God told me that to start the teaching in this camp with this one. And then we go on with other issues. We have also Pastor Mary May will be preaching too. Pastor Tyson will be preaching. Pastor Caesar. Amen. We're going to hear many, many testimony in the camp. And I want to encourage you to really spend time together, talk and encourage. You know, only the group from Rivers of Life Church came 2 days ago. I spent time with all of them. And I just was so encouraged to hear all the miracles, all the testimony about what happened in Thailand and in Bangkok. I was so blessed. It's a blessing to hear what is going on in another part of the world. Amen. So please hang around with them, talk to them, and learn from each other. Actually, I would like to, in fact, have a very informal session, maybe in the camp. Just sit down and just have open talk and learn from one another, from different churches for building up one another, encouraging one another. Amen. I would like to welcome many of you who came from out of town, like Suwa from Washington DC, all the people from Thailand. Amen. And also Tyson and Paige and her mom, Mrs. Kong. Is that right? Mrs. Kong, God bless you. Also would like to welcome people from Phoenix, brother and sister from Phoenix. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you this, that it depends on the degree of your hunger. It depends on the degree of your desperation. It depends on the degree of your pressing in. I believe that people who are more hungrier than normal, gonna get more from God. God loves the hungry. So I want to encourage you that in this camp, don't just come for a job only, that you have a job or responsibility to do in the camp. You don't just come because it's another camp in Seattle. It's another church camp at Warm Beach. But you come with hunger. You say, God, I'm hungry. I want more of you. I want to really press in. It's the degree of your hunger. Let's say at the same time. It's the degree of my hunger that will move the hand of God. The hungrier I am, God, the more God can act on my behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. I heard about the hunger in Thailand. They have a party. A Christmas party. You know, party is a party, okay? Eating, having fun. But a new believer walk into the party, and she's sitting here, the new believer. She walk in and say, do we have laying on of hand today? We have the move of God today. This isn't a party. Do you have revival today? Wow. They are not here for eating. They are here for the touch of God. Amen. How hungry they are. Amen. So we need to be hungry for the things of God. We should not take the things of God for granted. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't think this way that I have arrived. I know a lot. I have gone to Bible school. I have known the Bible. I tell you, once you think that way, that you have known everything, you have arrived, you have reached everything in your goal, you are on the course of backsliding. You need to always feel that you don't have enough. I need more. I want more. Amen. All the days of your life. Never have enough. Amen. Compared to the glory of Jesus Christ, compared to the glory of God, we are still far away. We still fall short of the glory of God. We need to reach up more to a higher place in God. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you. Talk about evangelism. I would like to start with the issue of prayer and intercession. You can try to evangelize so much with your own energy, with your own ability. But if you don't move the hand of God by prayer and intercession, your evangelism may not be effective. In fact, if you pray more, we'll see more result. Amen. So I would like to really encourage you this morning to be pray warrior, to pray a lot for the lost. I want to start this right now today, because from today on, you're going to spend time praying for your loved ones, spend time praying for your city. You're going to spend time praying for your nation. Amen. For Japan, for Philippines, for Mexico, for Thailand, for Malaysia, for Indonesia, for all the nations. Pray for your city, for Bangkok, for Phoenix. Pray, you know, God told me that you don't pray enough. You need to pray more for your city. And if you notice, before a woman give birth to a baby, the woman have to go through, we call pain. Is that right? Birth pain. The delivery pain. And sometimes you need to go through the travail, the pain of praying for the lost. You just cry out to God and you say, God, they are going to destruction. They are in destruction. People are so bound by sin. People are so bound by bondage, by demons, by sickness and disease. Families are broken. Kids have no parents. Kids have only single parents. The situation is very bad in the society. I need to pray. You know, you look at the situation in America. You can see that we need to pray for America. We need to pray. You look at the situation in Phoenix. Amen. You need to see the situation, the field of God, the world of God from the eyes of God, and take that heart of God into your life and say, God, fill me with your heart so that I can pray with your heart. You know, the Bible says like this in the book of Matthew, Jesus look at the sheep and say, they are sheep without shepherd. They are harassed by the enemy, and he has compassion for them. Amen. You need to have that compassion of God. You need to have that heart of God and say, God, people are going to destruction. Even Christians, even the churches are tortured by demons and sin and have problems. We need to intercede for the churches. We need to intercede for pastors and church leaders and the body of Christ. We need to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Lately I have more eyes of God. I see the condition of the churches and see the condition also in our church. I see that our people still far away from what God wants us to be and what God wants us to do. We still far away from the perfect will of God. The kingdom of God has not fully established on earth yet. The kingdom of God has not fully established in your life yet. We need to pray for one another. I read this scripture and I was so convicted. Yesterday, I was stunned for a while. I couldn't talk after I read this scripture. I was so convicted by the word of God. I was really like, People talk to me, I was like, couldn't concentrate because the word of God just so, just work in my heart that I really repent that I didn't pray enough. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all, everyone say all, occasions. Pray in all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Next year in the camp, we're going to have the topic called prayer and intercession next year camp. Okay? So next year we're going to learn more about prayer. With all kinds of prayers and requests. Wow. God said on all occasions. Are you praying on all occasions? Are you praying all the time? Or you just pray only in the prayer meeting? Or you pray only when you are comfortable or you have free time? The Bible said pray on all occasions. In the car. Taking a shower. Is that right? Getting on the bus. Waiting at the bus stop. Driving to the care group. Eating dinner. You pray. You talk to God. God, pray what? With this in mind, be alert and always keep always. Everyone say always.
Always.
Keep on praying. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen. Are you doing this yet? I don't think so. We don't pray enough. And that's why the church struggles. That's why the city hasn't seen revival. That's why many Christians are not walking in the will of God. That's why many Christians fall into sin. Because we don't pray for each other enough. We don't really cry out to God enough. The Bible says pray in all occasions. Why we need to pray? Because we are not evangelizing or reaching out to people with our own strength. You know, evangelism or reaching out to the lost is a spiritual warfare. Do you know that?
Yes.
If you just sit in the church, doing nothing, being just a so-called good Christian, cultural Christian, come to church on Sunday, pay your tithe a little bit, and then go home, 1.5 hour service, and you go home, watch your TV, watch your football game, maybe buy some good CD from some preacher and listen, and you do nothing, you don't reach out to the lost, I tell you, the devil will not bother you. Because you go to heaven by yourself. He is not afraid of you. He is not going to bother you. But once you start to reach out to the lost, once you begin to throw a party and invite the lost, once you start to have dinner for the lost, once you begin to go visit people in jail, visit people in the hospital, once you begin to call and email your unsaved loved ones, once you begin to reach out to the people who don't know Jesus Christ, the devil will count you a big enemy. And he will fight with you. He will try to do everything to stop you. And at the same time, he will try to do everything to stop people from coming to church and coming to know Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I noticed many times in this church, people are okay. Once we begin to invite them and tell them about Jesus, they get sick. Those people are non-believers. They start to get sick. And we call, when you're going to come to church, oh, you know, I'm sick again. I cannot get there. I cannot make it to the church. Why? Why don't this thing happen? Who is doing the job to hinder the lost to come to the church? The lost to come to know Jesus? Who?
Satan,
the enemy. Is that right? That's why we need to fight. And one of the weapons, we are not fighting with guns and knife. We use spiritual weapon. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 to 13, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, mean all the angelic beings that follow the devil, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You are not fighting against the non-believers. You are not fighting against any man or any people. You are fighting against the principalities, the evil spirit, and the fallen angels. Amen. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And then continue to verse 18 that I read a while ago. I read one more time. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. You can see the context in Ephesians chapter 6 here. The context, Ephesians 6 from verse 12 down to verse 18, talking about spiritual warfare, talking about the enemies that try to stop the work of God, that try to destroy your family, destroy the cities and the nations, the principalities and the powers and the rulers that try to cover and take control of each city and each nation. And then at the end, Paul said like this, what one thing you can do to fight, you know, the full armor of God is more like defensive. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, all these are the defensive armor. But prayer is like what? Rocket. It's like the bullet that go out to shoot them. It's more offensive. Now we're gonna do the offensive warfare against the enemy. And that's why the Bible says we need to pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. With all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. My dear brother and sister, I want to encourage you. Our nature is this. When you see somebody reject the gospel, when you see somebody we call hard cases, the first reaction we have is to complain. The first reaction that we have is to talk against that person and say, oh, this person is not very godly. It's just so, you know, not very open to the gospel. And we start to complain. We start to talk bad about that person. My dear brother and sister, you use the same energy in complaining and talking bad. When you pray, you use the same energy. Instead of using your energy to feel bad, feel discouraged, and complain and talk bad about the non-believers, you should use your energy to pray and intercede. Amen. The same energy that you use your mouth. You start to pray. Amen. I remember I prayed for my mom for 17 years and eventually she got saved. Amen. The power of prayer travailed. God, I cried, God, save my mom. I don't want my mom to go to hell. Amen. Now I begin to pray for my brothers and my sister-in-laws. I pray for my nephews and nieces. There's so many of them have not known Jesus yet. We pray for her brothers and sisters for many years and now they go to Rivers of Life Church. Thank God. One of the brother didn't want to go to church because he could not wake up in the morning. Every Sunday he could not wake up. And we keep praying with joy hand together in our bedroom and say, God, help this man that one day he's gonna commit. And lately he told Pastor Noom that he now is born again and he really want to commit to the church. The power of prayer. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know one thing about my own heart is that I could not stand seeing my loved ones and my mom and my dad or whoever that I know and I love to go to hell. I couldn't handle that feeling. I want them to go to heaven. Hell is serious. It's bad. Everyone say hell. Is bad. Heaven is good. We need to really see the seriousness of hell and power of demons. Amen. Salvation is not only about going to heaven. Salvation includes healing, prosperity, victory, deliverance, setting free, abundant life on earth here. I have expectation that every member who comes to our church will receive the full package of salvation. Yes. Not just go to heaven, but live a miserable life on earth. Yes. When we talk about suffering on earth, the Bible does not mean sickness and disease. Okay? Suffering doesn't mean sickness and disease and poverty. suffering mean? Suffering for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejection, persecution, disappointment, all these are suffering. But not sickness. Sickness doesn't belong to Christian.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
At all. So don't let the devil lie to you that, oh, God's will for you to suffer with sickness. No, we fight. Amen. We fight because sickness comes from the devil.
Right.
Amen. So we need to understand the whole package of salvation. Preservation, healing, deliverance, ticket to go to heaven, becoming free from bondage of sin, all these things. And as a pastor and a doctor, I see Christians all over the world welcome below full gospel that it's okay that demon work. It's okay that I'm sick. It's okay. And they never fight, they never pray. But we need to fight. We need to intercede for one another.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of people don't live full gospel life yet. Because they don't understand the Bible. And we need to pray for one another. We need to intercede for one another. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why we need to pray? Because the devil is working overtime. The devil is working overtime. He will do everything under the sun to stop people from coming to know Jesus and from moving on with God. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this age, this is not capital G, it's a small g. Who is the God of this age? Satan. Has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The Bible says the devil blinded. Has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. He put the veils in front of them. Our job is to intercede that the veil will be removed. The hand of the enemy will be removed. So I always pray for the non-believer this way. Father in heaven, I say in Jesus' name that the blindness on their spiritual eyes shall be removed. In Jesus' name, the eyes shall be opened to see the light of the gospel. Amen. You pray that way according to the Bible. You pray that the eyes of people will see, will reveal. Amen. It's amazing. I just talking to one of the sisters from Bangkok church. Her name is Phon. She said it's interesting that before she came into revival, when she read the Bible, she didn't see the whole picture. Until one day God, Holy Spirit came into her and the fire of God touched her. Her eyes were open. Now she read the Bible like, almost like I'm a newborn again Christian. I have to start all over again. All the understanding in the Bible in the past was imbalanced, was off. Because the eyes, you know, I believe that is the work of the enemy that tried to blind the church. Don't see the whole thing in the Bible. Just see only part of it. The same thing, he can blind non-believers not to see the whole thing. That's why we need the fire of God. That's why we need the power of God. One day God spoke to me when I woke up. Son, thank you so much not to only preach the word but move in the anointing. Because only the anointing will set the captive free.
Amen.
Amen. And unfortunately, many Christians have the stronghold in their mind. They have a wrong thinking by the devil. The devil keep a lot of wrong thinking in their mind. And only the word of God and the spirit can set them free. To see things from true God's perspective. Not from human perspective. Not human own interpretation. That's why we need to pray for pastor. We need to pray for leaders. We need to pray for all the saints. We need to pray for the city. I want to encourage people from Phoenix, for brother and sister from Phoenix, to really pray for your city. Every single day, you should have an intercessory prayer meeting. Amen. You're going to see God is moving if you pray.
Amen.
In our church, we have intercessory prayer meeting on Tuesday morning here. Come and join them. I heard that they have really a good time. Really, God really move and pray. You know, if you don't go to work, just come and join them and pray for the city, pray for the brothers and sisters to open the eyes so people can see. The devil, really, not only to blind people's eyes and close the eyes of the people, the devil will also cause people to be antagonistic against the gospel. Look at what happened in the Bible here. In Acts chapter 5, 16 to 18, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits. So now you can see who caused sickness. Who is causing sickness? Evil spirit, not God, okay? Not accept it. And all of them were healed. Is it the will of God to heal people?
Yes.
Did the Bible say all?
Yes.
Actually, I read this scripture to prepare sermon. Then I went back to my computer, clicked the word all. And I found so many scripture in the Bible, in the four gospel, that the Bible say like this. Jesus went into town, all the sick and all the demon possessed came to him, and he healed all of them. And I pray to God right away. I bow and pray. God, could you please give me that kind of anointing? I want to press in to have anointing like Peter and John, like Jesus, like Paul, that perform supernatural, extraordinary miracle, that everyone who come to the church, all of them will be healed. All the demons will go away in Jesus' name. If it happened in the full gospel, if it happened in the book of Acts, it should happen now, because I worship the same God. I have the same God. I have the same Holy Ghost. Amen. You think it can happen in Bangkok? You think it can happen in Phoenix? You think it can happen in Mexico? It can. It just, you need to press in. You need to say, I am not pleased now with this. I want more. I want to see everyone who come to church be set free. All. Everyone say all.
All.
And God showed me in this scripture that it's God's will for his people to be healed.
Yes.
It's not God's will for people to be sick.
Right.
Don't accept it. God wants, one day I was driving on the freeway and God said like this to me. Son, do you know that your God is loving and gracious and merciful, and I want to heal people? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You should be glad that every Sunday I stand up here and say, heal everyone. You should not be mad at me. Because I'm walking in the will of God, that God wants to heal people. It's the heart of God. God doesn't want to see his people get sick. Let me ask, how many people are parents here in this room? Raise your hand up. How many people are parents? Let me ask this question. How many of you who are parents want your kids to get sick all the time and have broken arm, broken leg, and arthritis, and broken nose, and have brain cancer? Raise your hand up right now. I will cut your hand off. You think dad in heaven is better than you? You think the dad in heaven loved you more than you loved your children? Yes, because he sent his son to die for you. He loved you more than you loved your children. If God, if you as a human being don't want your kids to get sick, God doesn't want you to get sick either. I go off the tangent a little bit here because I want to be clear in this church that it's God's will for us to pray and fight with sickness. Amen.
Amen.
And we need to pray for our brother and sister. I pray, cover you every day that you will not be sick in this church.
Amen.
Amen. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. I believe that the person who caused this to have jealousy spirit is the devil. The devil is not afraid of tradition. The devil is not afraid of ritual. The devil is afraid of the anointing. So when your church is moving an anointing, I can guarantee people will get mad at you, because the devil will speak to them and say, hate them, they evangelize, they move in an anointing, they will be against you, there will be jealousy of you. So that's normal, because the devil hates the anointing. He is not concerned about tradition. He hates the anointing of God. He hates the glory of God. So he's going to come against the church that want to evangelize and want to move under anointing of God. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Before I go on, I need to read this scripture. Proverbs chapter 4. I need to read this scripture. The whole camp, I want you to be like this. This is my habit since the first day I became a Christian. This is my habit. It's not in the computer. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. I want you to have this habit. Listen attentively to the word of God. Your eyes focus on the word. Keep them in the midst of your heart, and it will give life to you. Amen. Amen. So during preaching time, you should not, you should turn off your telephone, should not go out and talk on the telephone, walk around. You should really pay attention to the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
That is important. You need to really say, God, I cannot put my eyes, I cannot listen to what Jesus said to the pastor. I want to listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to me today. Because if you pay attention and you focus your eyes on it, God will really give life to you and bless you. Take the word of God seriously. Don't have this attitude. Oh, I know all of this stuff. I listen to this 100 times. I tell you how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing of the word of God. You need to keep hearing. Hearing. Actually, I'd like to preach one sermon, maybe 5 Sunday as a row. The same sermon. Just to stir you up, to see what you're going to say. Oh, it would be nice to come to 5 Sunday, preach the same sermon 5 times. And people say, can you change your sermon? No, I'm not going to change. You need to hear the same thing 5 times until you have faith in it. Amen. It would be good, huh? That would be fun. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The devil would try to stop the gospel. But the church need to pray. The early church pray a lot. Amen. Look at Acts. I can read all this scripture to show you what is the lifestyle of the early church. In Acts chapter 1 verse 14, they all joy together constantly in prayer. Everyone say, constantly.
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 What does it mean, constantly?
Constantly.
Huh? All the time. Amen. They were all joy together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Amen. They pray constantly. Do we need to do that? Yes. We don't pray enough. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 24. When they heard that Peter was put into jail. What happened? When they heard this about the persecution against the apostle, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign God, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They raised voice to pray instead of complaining, instead of chit-chatting. They pray, they talk to God. Look at Acts chapter 12 verses 5 to 6. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was bring him to trial. They pray again for Peter. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 12 verse 12. And when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary and the mother of John and also called Mark, where many people were watching TV and having good time together. Is that right? What Peter found when he arrived at home? What were they doing?
Praying.
They had gathered and were praying. Husband and wife, are you praying together? Enough. Are you spend time talking, complaining about other people in the church? Are you spending time praying for your kids, for their salvation? Are you spending time praying for this city, for this nation, for your own country, for your mom and your dad that have not been saved? I want to encourage you, don't spend time talking about negative stuff. Don't spend time talking about other people's weaknesses. Don't spend time talking about other mistakes and faults. Spend time more in praying, like the early church. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I and Pastor Da, we're going to pray more after this camp. We're going to join hands and pray for brother and sister. We're going to pray. We're not going to spend more time in talking about problems in the church. We're going to pray. Amen. Interceding.
Amen.
Amen. This is a good lesson to start in this camp. Hallelujah. So we go to camp and pray more, okay? Don't spend time complaining. Acts chapter 12, look at the result of prayer. God moved his hand when people pray. Amen. God moved his hand. I heard that the new believers in Rivers of Life Church, brand new believer, pray 3 times a day. The daughter told me, you know, Na family at night, Na mom and 2 brother and sister, every night before they go to bed, they would come and join hand together and pray. Amen. Is that right? You join hand together. What do you do at night? Ni, could you come to tell us what you do at night? Every night, what you do at home? And this is only six months old Christian. Tell them what you do in your home at night before they all go to bed. Yeah, you can speak in Thai. I translate for you. This is Na sister.
Yeah.
Every night we will join hands together and pray. Before they start to pray, they all say to God that Holy Spirit lead us what to pray. 6 month old Christian, okay? So every time we pray together, we claim to God that when 2 or 3 gather together and pray together, God will do it in heaven for us.
Amen.
Oh, 6 months old. And then God will come down and touch us during prayer. And we believe, we have faith that God is with us and we pray for the kingdom of God, not for our own sake, but not for our own benefit. And when we're praying, the Holy Spirit will lead us to pray for the whole nation, pray for all the members in the church, pray for our church. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit was leading us. And we sense the presence of God when we were praying together. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you convicted?
Yes.
6 months old Christian, pray every night together in the family, join hand together, the mom and the brother and the in-law and the kid, they all pray together. Amen. We need to pray for our country more. Pray for our city. Look at the result of prayer in Acts chapter 12, verses 20 to 23. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him, having secured the support, on and on and on. And look at what the end here. In verse 22 and 23, they shouted, "This is the voice of God, not of a man." In other words, the Herod claimed that he is God himself. Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. The church prayed that the persecution will be removed. The church prayed that the enemy will not be able to resist them. What happened? The angel of the Lord came and get rid of their enemy, Herod. Amen? So that's why we need to pray. I believe that we're going to see more miracles, more salvation in our church. I believe that we don't pray enough in our church. We need to pray more. Pray all the time, on all occasions. Pray for all the saints. Amen. Let's say at the same time, Father, I promise you, I will stop using my mouth and my tongue, complaining, Talking negative. Talking about other people's fault. But I will use my tongue and my mouth to praise you and to pray to you and intercede for the lost. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent of my sin. Please forgive me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. How many people are convinced that we need to pray more? Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many husband and wife in this room, couple, say, I will pray together more? Amen. You will see things happen. Amen. Now we'll go on for another 15 minutes. And we'll finish I will close my teaching and go on another session. I'd like to talk about evangelism. So from now on, we're going to pray. Is that right? Okay? We're going to pray. Pray for who? For who? For our loved ones, unsaved loved ones. Pray for the city. Pray for the nation. Pray for our church. Pray for the leaders. Pray for our members. Amen. Interceding every day. Pray for our kids. That our kids will grow up and love the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The spiritual eyes shall be opened. Now, I want to talk about evangelism here. There are two kinds of evangelism. One kind we call personal evangelism. And another kind we call mass evangelism. And I want to mention about personal evangelism first. Because all of us can do personal evangelism. All of us. You don't need to be an evangelist to evangelize or to reach out to the lost. If actually God commissioned every Christian to reach out to the lost. It's not just the pastor or the evangelist. God wants every Christian to reach out to the lost. It's a command for everyone. Therefore, we all need to set goal to evangelize or to reach out to the lost in the personal level to our friends, our relative, and our co-workers, our boss, our students, or our teachers, whoever. You know, Da and I try to reach out to the teacher of Paul. And we try to reach out to them. We try to reach out to our neighbors. A few months ago, we invited all the neighbors to come to our house. We pray in front of them. We talk about God in front of them. And we talk about our church. We feed them, and now they become our friend, and we want to reach out to our neighbors. Amen. We reach out to the lost. It's our responsibility, everyone. Amen. Now, there are many benefits of personal evangelism. And I want to encourage all of you, after this camp, by the fire of the Holy Ghost, that you will not be able to sit still. You want to really reach out to the lost. You want to really look for non-believers and unbelievers, and you say, God, use me to reach out to these people. I pray that the impartation will come upon you. That there are many benefits that I want to tell you why it's so good to do personal evangelism. Amen. I was so touched by the story of the mom of the sister, Bum. Bum, could you stand up? Bum is from Bangkok. Her mom just got saved 2 months ago. Okay? And she all of 10 years of her life, you can sit down please, thank you. All the 10 years of her life, this mom, she is about 50 years old. Her mom has been selling the, I don't know what you can say in English. It's equipment and offering thing to the Buddhist temple. Okay? She has been selling this thing for 10 years, selling to Buddhist people and to, so that they can give to the Buddhist temple and to the monk. And now she got saved. She said, I want to change my job now. I want to sell my business and move on to do something else. She's looking for selling books now or whatever. You know, she want to change her job, just how serious she is for Christian. Not only that, when people walk into her shop to buy the things for Buddhist monk, she said, by the way, now I know Jesus. You would like to come to church with me? I'm serious. And the customer say, really? Like, maybe I'll go and check it out. She said, God really give me true peace and joy. I never have true peace and joy until I come to know Jesus. She witnessed to people who come to buy the Buddhist thing. It's amazing. So you see, a new believer can do it. We can do it. We have the same Holy Ghost. And she just shared. I mean, this is amazing. Happened in the Buddhist, selling stuff for Buddhism. And the owner of the shop is doing it. Hallelujah. Amen. We can do it. We need to evangelize. Hallelujah. So first thing, the benefit of personal evangelism is that when you reach out to the lost in a personal level, you can really see, recognize their needs and meet their needs. You cannot do that in mass evangelism. Because in mass evangelism, so many people, you don't know what happened in their life. But in the personal level, you can find out. Maybe a person is being sick. Maybe a person just got divorced and really feel discouraged. Maybe that person really have a lot of fear, phobia. You can encourage. You can say something to encourage. You can meet. Maybe it's so lonely. You just become friend, help. Amen. You can meet the needs of that person by personal evangelism. Look at Jesus, how Jesus reached out to the Samaritan woman. He knows, he can observe her needs. The Samaritan woman at the well, she had 5 husbands. Therefore, she was not well accepted in town as a woman with many, many men in her life. So in order to get water, she could not come to the well in the evening like usual. Other people will come to the well in the evening time to get the water. She has to come at lunchtime, which is very hot. The sunshine is so strong during lunchtime. So she came, sneak out of the city to get the water for herself. She didn't want to meet anyone, but Jesus was standing there. Jesus saw that her need is water. Is that right? And she had to hide herself to get the water. Look at what Jesus said here. Personal evangelism. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, John chapters 4, verses 7 to 10, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" He stirred up the question. He initiated the question that related to her need. His disciple had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So Jesus knew her need. Jesus initiated a question that really touched her need. The same thing, when we witness to an unbeliever and we know what they need, we can bring that subject into the gospel. So when you first evangelize or reaching out to the lost, don't be just talker. Talk, 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 talk. You listen first. You build relationship. You get to know them. You learn about their life first. You keep learning. And by the help of the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what is the need of that person. And then you begin to depend on the Holy Spirit to minister to that person according to their need. Amen. Is it clear? So it's wonderful. It's good. Amen. Hallelujah. I noticed that many people really have need in their life. I remember we reached out to a person who came here and want to go to school in America. So right away, we take this person out for dinner and then try to give advice, what kind of school, how to go to school. After a while, this person really trusts Pastor Da and came to her prayer meeting here. She was a non-believer. She came to the prayer meeting because she trusts us, because we took her out for dinner and then show her and explain to her how she get to the school here. She got saved here, filled with the Holy Spirit, go to that church, touched by God, filled with laughter already within 1 month, done deal. And now she listened to the CD all the time. She lived in north part of Thailand. Amen. So you can see that you need to really listen to people and touch their need. Amen. The second benefit is that to observe the response of the unbeliever. When you reach out to the people personally, you can observe their response easily. Is that right? Because you can talk face to face, eye to eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at what happened to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus. Jesus answered in chapter 3 verses 5 to 8, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In other words, things happen in the spirit realm will be unpredictable, Jesus tried to say. Nicodemus could not understand what Jesus said. He asked the question in verse 9, how can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel teacher, Jesus said, Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? So Jesus recognized right away that this man did not understand the heavenly things. I want to encourage all of you that don't just fix your eyes on the earthly things. Try to understand the heavenly things, the spiritual thing. I give you one example. A while ago, 5 or 6 people in this room were laughing in the Holy Ghost. So if you look in the earthly thing, you look at them and say, this is crazy. It's too loud. Is that and this and that, you begin to criticize them because you use your earthly thinking to criticize them. But if you look in the spiritual thing, spiritual heavenly thing, wow, God came down, God who created the heavens and the earth, came down from heaven and touched them, touched the earthly vessel on earth here, and doing some cleansing on the inside. And you already see the outcome. Like me, 6 months old Christian, praying, knowing how to move in the Holy Ghost, listen to the Holy Ghost in 6 months. I was not like that when I was 6 months old Christian. It took me 10 years to be like that. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is working inside her faster than the pastor tried to preach to her. You see what I mean? Something happened in the spirit realm when the Holy Spirit is moving. But you don't just look at this as an earthly thing. Another laughing, another voice in the church. No, this is spiritual. This is heavenly things. You need to have this. I want to train you to have spiritual mindset, not just earthly mindset. Amen. One day God spoke to me, son, go deeper into the spiritual thing, into the spirit realm. How many people want to go deeper into the spirit realm? To the point that you can see vision, you can see dreams, you can hear the voice of God, you can be so in tune with the spirit of God. I want to be so in tune with the things of heaven. Because we want to bring the kingdom of God down from heaven on earth. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That should be your goal, every one of you. I'm going to go deeper into the spirit realm. And you can be better evangelists. You can be a better soul winners. Because if you move in the spirit, you can sense, you can tell, you can discern what's going on by the spirit of God. Amen. And Jesus was discerning right away. Jesus was so filled with the Holy Ghost. He is in deep in the spirit realm. Look, go back and read the book of Acts again. In the whole book of Acts, the apostle Peter, Paul, Pete, John, all these people are deep in the spirit realms. Phillips, Stephen, everyone. The church today is still far away from the depth of the spirit realm. That's why we're going to go deeper together in this camp. Amen. We're going to get deeper and deeper. Amen. So you will be able to identify the response. You can sense the response of the unbeliever. Number three, you will be able to evangelize in any setting. You don't need to wait for a meeting on Sunday. You don't need to wait for a special crusade. You can reach out to non-believer in the bus, in the classroom. Amen. During the operation, I witness a lot. I evangelize. Sometimes I sing Christian songs. Sometimes I talk about God. You know, I talk about Jesus. And no one can run away from me. They have to be with me. I think there are two jobs that people cannot run away from you. Number one is barber. When you cut somebody's hair, or in the middle of cutting, you can talk about God and they cannot run away. Second one is surgeon. While you are performing surgery, or the anesthesiologist and the nurse and everyone have to stand there listening to me. They cannot run away. Amen. Even the church people can run away because they can get up and walk out. But during surgery, no one can run away. So any situation, you can talk about God. You can talk about God in a natural way. Amen. I use opportunity all the time in the hospital. There is a receiving room that the patient has to sit there and you need to make a mark on the area that you want to operate on. If you operate on the neck, you have to make a mark here. So I walk in and make a mark and say, can I pray for you? Oh, I tell you, people really open before they get into the table with a knife on. They open. So I pray, and every time I tell you, all of them cry after they open their eyes. I pray for non-believer, they cry. And I just want to witness to them that my God is real. Whether they will be safe or not, maybe they will get safe in another church. I sowed the seed already. I did my part. I pray for them. Amen. It's good. In fact, one time, I was praying for a mom in my office. But the daughter is a believer. This is a true story. The daughter is a believer, the mom is not. So I begin to pray for she has a disease that cannot be cured by doctor. So I pray for her. The daughter was laughing at the Holy Ghost. The first time in her life, I was praying, she said, what happened to me? I'm laughing. This is in the office, in the medical office. She was laughing in the Holy Ghost because the daughter is a believer. She got touched by God right away while I was praying. Amen. So you can witness anywhere. You don't need to wait for the big meeting or for the big evangelist coming into town. Amen. And not only that, you can evangelize through relationship. You know, you know somebody and you evangelize, you reach out to them. And because of relationship, they will continue to come and learn about God. If you witness in the mass evangelism, they don't know you, they will be gone. Amen? Yeah. They will not come back. But when you know them, they keep coming back. Look at Al reach out to Debbie personally. And now Debbie is still here in the church because of personal relationship. The same thing, Yong got saved here. Yong reached out to Kenny. Kenny at that time was at University of Washington, came here for a few times, got saved. Then Kenny told Carlin. Carlin came. Amen. Amen. So one by one, through relationship. And it's awesome because you can make disciples through relationship. Amen. Hallelujah. Personal, let's say at the same time, personal evangelism can be done by every Christian. And I can do it by the help of the Holy Spirit. Will you do it? Amen. Be bold. Amen. Don't be afraid. God can use you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How many people feel that you need more boldness to evangelize? I believe that one of the biggest reasons that we don't do evangelism or reach out because of fear. And the only person can give you boldness is the Holy Ghost. Amen? Or it's the Holy Ghost. I remember before I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was in a Baptist church. They asked me to go up and talk to the doctor about God. I was so chicken, I couldn't talk. I just so afraid that I was rejected. But after I filled with the fire of God, I become more bold to talk about God. I'm not afraid anymore. Because the fire of God give me the boldness. Amen? Like in Acts chapter 12, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon the room. The building was shaken. You remember the story? The building was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the word of God boldly. You need the Holy Ghost to help you to be bold. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand up together and pray and ask God to fill all of us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Join hands together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ask for bonus. Ask for bonus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I count 1, 2, 3. After I say 3, you all just pray to God out loud at the same time. Ask God to fill you, to help you to have boldness, and you will become prayer warrior. God will give you the anointing of intercession, and God will give you the anointing of boldness. Crying out together out loud. Amen. Don't mumbling, okay? Say to God out loud, pray at the same time. Hallelujah. 1, 2, 3, go. Yes, Lord. Father. Yes, Lord. Give us Jesus' mighty name. Bonus. Fill all of us with your power. Yes, Lord. Give us, Lord, the burden to pray for the lost, to intercede for the city. Give us, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, boldness, Lord, in this church to evangelize. Lord, help us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, there will not be a chain of the gospel anymore. Father, help us, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, come and fill your church. Lord, like in the book of Acts chapter 12, Lord. Come, Lord. You're the God who created the heavens and the sea and the earth, Lord. You come and fill your people. Impartation in this meeting, Lord. Yes, Lord. Impartation, Lord. By your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. We're serious, Father. We're serious. We want to reach out to the Lord. We want to do your will. You tell us to go. You send us, Lord. Send us out into the world with the anointing, with the power, with the wisdom, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people believe God answer our prayer? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the hand of mighty hands of praise to God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like to sing the steadfast love of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's remind ourselves again that God loves us and God wants to use us to bring that love to other people. Yes, Lord.
Fast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Sing it one more time.
Steadfast love.
Believe that God loves you.
Lord,
And God wants to use you.
His eyes, His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is Thy faithfulness.
They are new.
They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is Thy faithfulness.
Father, please, Lord, come and visit every single one in this camp. Visit them in the meeting. Visit them in the field. Visit them in the car. Visit them in their bedroom. Come and change their life. As Moses' father met you at the burning bush, and he never became the same. People can see the fire of God from his eyes when he walked out of that bush and came down from the mountain. Father, in this camp, you're going to imprint the fire of God into their life. That when they go home, people around them will see that they are changed. They'll never be the same, Lord, after this camp. The imprinting of the fire of God will be upon their life. They will check the city. They will check their neighbors. They will check their church. Oh Lord, that's their nation, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. If you say, God, I want to have more fire of God, come out here. This camp, I'm going to lay hand unto my hand. Get a fire strong in my hand. Amen. Let's get the chairs out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Get the chair out. I wait for everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You say, God, imprint upon my life with the fire of God. Hallelujah. The fire of God will change you from glory to glory. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hungry for God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pastor Da, you can come up to help me pray. We're going to wait until everyone is ready. We're going to wait a little bit for a few minutes to be ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the usher will go with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for those who help. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You receive by faith when I lay hand on you. You just received. And don't think too much. Just receive by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Fire. 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 Jesus' mighty name. Fire from heaven. by the hand of Jesus right now. Never be the same. Never be the same.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.